Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Chai with Jams podcast, season two. I'm Ritika Agrawal, your host, where I sit down and have a virtual cup of tea with some of the most inspiring and successful individuals from around the world. Join me as I delve into their stories, explore their triumphs and challenges, and discover the ingredients that help brew them success. This season, we're focusing on individuals that are on the rise, that wear multiple hats, and have insights that can help transform your everyday life. Please join me in welcoming our third guest, who is an award-winning brand marketer and concert pianist, public speaker, Campaign US's Inspiring Woman, and Ad Age Leading Women Rising Stars honoree, Jenny Huang. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to the Chai with Jams podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. As I was just chatting with you, we met, I think, what, 3-4 years ago when you had just pivoted into brand marketing from your music journey. And now you are like labeled as the inspiring woman from Campaign US magazine and whatnot. That's incredible. Before we get started, I'd love to know about you. Can you share a little bit about yourself with our audience?
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny Huang. I am an award-winning brand marketer and concert pianist. I'm currently the director of B2B brand marketing at Gannett USA Today Network. Recently, I've been recognized as one of the most innovative leaders in brand marketing, and I'm also serving as a judge for several marketing award shows, such as the American Advertising Awards. Previously, I was a concert pianist for nearly a decade, and I moved to the U.S. when I was 17 and made a name for myself as a concert pianist and performed in over 10 countries internationally.
Wow, that is incredible. What a lovely background. Let's go all the way back. Let's go back to you starting your musical journey in China. Can you talk to us about what piqued your interest in playing the piano and what you envisioned yourself to do when you'd grow up?
So growing up, I really do not like the question that, what do you want to do when you grow up? Every adult asked me, or every kid, they ask every kid about that. And I always hated that question. I found it rather challenging because it seems impossible to predict a career path. However, my childhood was rich with diverse experiences, from playing the piano to different activities such as playing Go, doing arts and sports and so on. So among my all sorts of explanation, and I discovered a profound connection with music, particularly with piano. I thought it wasn't just about the notes, and it was a form of expression and resonated really deeply with me, because piano is such a sophisticated and complex instrument, and it is such an interesting and elegant art form to communicate through music. And I truly just connected with it and learned about different composers and their life, and through the world of music and different music notes. And so back to the career path. Also, although I never quite envisioned a career path at that time, or even throughout my entire life, I knew that I wanted a very fulfilled life. I knew that I want to take all the adventures in life, and I explore all my strengths and weaknesses, likes and dislikes. So little did I know that my journey will lead me to music and then marketing.
That's incredible. I think going back to that question where you said, you know, you hated people asking you, what do you want to do when you're growing up? And yeah, you necessarily didn't think about it. You know, when you were learning the piano and as you were growing up, I guess, What sparked the idea of moving to the US when you were 17? And when you made that decision, did you have a clearer idea of what you want to do when you grow up?
So I moved to the US for music. I came here to study at one of the world's best music school, Oberlin Conservatory, and later on I also earned another master's degree in piano again in New York City. And so my purpose of moving to the US was for music. But as during my continuous exploration to learn more about myself, what I like and what I dislike, and explore about the world, I realized that there are so much more than just music. There's so much more in the world that I want to do, I want to make an impact in than just the music world. So that's just kind of like a quick summary of my journey moving to the US. And the reason why I decided to move here was also because I was born and raised in a small city in China. And I think growing up, I always know that I want to, again, explore the world and see what's outside of a small town in China. And the curiosity and my, as someone who really like challenges, that kind of led me to the US.
With all the profound experience that you have, and I love the notion that you're talking about exploring yourself and your weaknesses and strengths, and it's kind of a trial and error process, which I love. How did you kind of shift to your career from music to now brand marketing?
So honestly, it was completely by accident. Never thought that I would go into marketing, and it was definitely not part of the plan. Again, that growing up, like, even though I never know what I want to do, but part of me always knew that I will go into the business world at some point, although I don't know when is it going to be and what kind of business is going to be. COVID was especially a challenging time for entertainment and music industry. And at that time, I was still a concert pianist full time. And but COVID definitely accelerated my plan to transition my career into the business world. So my first transition was I started out transitioning into the music business, and then it was great. I loved the combination of creativity and strategy and my background in music. But then one day I was having a career conversation with one of my friends and who works in advertising. And they asked me, how about trying out advertising? It sounded like advertising is also kind of similar to music business, that a combination of creativity and strategy. So again, as someone who is so curious and love challenges, I said yes. And without knowing anything about advertising or marketing, and I just went for it.
So it looks like COVID did make a huge impact. And like you rightly said, it did impact a lot of industries. A lot of people had to either pivot or find other opportunities, but for you, it truly accelerated it, which it kind of worked in your favor because now look at you. You were doing phenomenally well. I'd love to talk about that, you know, that latter. COVID was, 4 years ago. And that means you pivoted only 4 years ago. And to see such a huge climb is incredible. And I'm sure a lot of people just have question marks on their head, like, how can you make that happen? So I'd love to lo know from you, like, how did you kind of climb the ladder and get to where you are today, where you're winning awards and, you know, judging and, you know, now you're the director at USA Today. I would love to know that career trajectory.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. Number one is there are a lot of foundations which I laid out during my time as a concert pianist that I was able to transition those foundation into business world. So that includes different kinds of skill sets that I have acquired being a concert pianist, the hardworking, the disciplines, the ability to sell myself and my ideas and to build personal brand as a concert pianist, I think those skills seamlessly, immediately, I was able to transition those skill set into the marketing world. And so I think there were a lot of hard work and foundation being built the past decade while I was being a concert pianist that was unseen. And now, yes, I became a director of marketing for one of the largest media publisher in the US within such short amount of time. A lot of people thought, how is that even possible? But again, there's a lot of work in the back that was unseen. And number two, I think was, I quickly understand the kind of the playbook of corporate America, and also understand that in order for me to continue advance, the most important thing for me to do is to learn how I could be an asset, a resource for others, how I can support others, how I could help others that will help me to advance in the same time. But obviously, I think most of the time, I was like 99% of time when I decide to help someone or support someone, my immediate intention was not think about how would that help me, but was come from a pure intention of, I like this person, I think this is a great idea, I want to help them, I want to be part of it. And so just continuing putting yourself in those kind of communities, kind of situation that you can support others, that eventually that will come back to you, that to elevate yourself as well. And number three, I think, is luck and opportunities and choices. I must admit, I am very, very lucky to start in my career in advertising at BBDO, which is one of the best of the best advertising agency in the world. And then when USA Today reached out, I made a very tough decision to jump to USA Today. Again, sometimes when great opportunities can knock at the door, you just need to grab it and go for it. And that's my three takeaways. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And that was so well said. I've definitely sensed notes of being empathetic, and I sensed notes of being a great leader. Talking about helping others, like, what advice would you give to someone who's also spent maybe the same amount of time as you have in the advertising world? How did they kind of propel their career?
A couple things. I think number one, again, you need to put in the work. Hard work is inevitable, and you just have to, at least the first thing first, you have to do the work. And then number two, yes, you need to understand how you can help support others, especially those whose voices matter in the organization that you are in, and how can you support them, and how do you being part of their journey and help accomplish their mission. And number three is really start building your personal brand within the organization and outside the organization. So you need to always constantly and consistently thinking about, how can you build your brand, like within your team, with the peers who you work with and the senior management, but then outside of the company, that how can you build your personal brand in the industry, outside of industry, in the social media, such as LinkedIn and so on. And I think both internally and externally, personal brand building is extremely important.
Do you have any best practices for personal branding? How does one start there?
I think this comes from, number one, understanding yourself. Really, really, truly understand who you are. Take a very honest look at yourself, of your strengths, your weaknesses, and what is your unique selling point, or how can you build a unique selling point for yourself to make you stand out from the crowd. And also have a vision. Like, if you want to be the most creative leader or most visionary leader in the world, in the industry, in 10 years, how can you start building from small and repeatedly, continuously deliver that message? And it's kind of like doing any kinds of marketing, that you have a vision, there's something you want to communicate, but you have to repeatedly doing so to your target audiences, to the people that you want to deliver those messages in. And also, in early stage of building your personal brand, I think it's also quite important to build some credibility, street credit, as we say. How do you attach yourself to some of those well-known brands or publications like Forbes, like Business Insider, or even USA Today? And how can you leverage these brands' credibility to build your own credibility? So I think there's a couple segments that you can do to build your personal brand.
Thank you so much for being so honest and transparent. I know a lot of people don't have resources, so your answer is, I think, a really good starting point and a good resource for a lot of our listeners today. So thank you. Pivoting to, we spoke a lot about your brand marketing. I would love to understand how you balance music and marketing. A lot of our guests on the podcast have worn multiple hats, and you are also one of them. So can you talk to us about how you balance the two, and how do each of them complement one another?
So I actually don't believe that balance exists. I approach life with a sense of prioritization. While music once occupied a significant portion of my life, my focus now has shifted towards marketing. However, transitioning hasn't been without its challenges, like juggling both world music and marketing. And I do a lot of public speaking and community work has been so challenging in terms of time. Just like everyone, I only have 24 hours. So I have to make a lot of sacrifices in my personal life, to be honest. And however, I found that both music and marketing enrich my life in unique ways. Music fuels my creativity and feeds my soul, while marketing channels my strategic mind and passion for innovation. So together, they kind of form a harmonious symphony, and complementing and enrich each other.
That's so well said again. I love that you are, you are one of the few who's spoken about not balancing, but prioritization. And it's so relatable, because as myself, I have a full-time job, I podcast, I'm doing community work. And like you said, we only have 24 hours. So how do you kind of prioritize and not kill yourself while also having a normal personal life, even if that means making sacrifices? So thank you so much for sharing that. It was very relatable to me.
I'm glad.
Talking about, you know, advising and, you know, helping the community, like we were previously chatting about, can you talk to us a little bit about who your role models were and, how did they help you to get to where you are today?
I have a lot of role models, and I think I'm fortunate enough to have a number of mentors, champions, and advisors who I consider my personal board of advisors. They all have their different strengths and their different expertise. Whenever I have challenges or questions, I go to many of them, and they all give me different advice coming from different background, different expertise. And it's just so amazing to hear different voices, and then I get to decide which direction I want to go to or combine some of them. Some of the best advice that my mentors and who are all my role models have gave me is to stay true to myself and pursue what matters to me. They all keep telling me that, Jenny, you just have to keep being yourself. Don't worry about what others said or what others think, others' opinions. And I think this really empowers me to embrace the challenges and pursue my passion.
Could you share some pivotal moments or experiences that shaped that career?
Yeah, I think there are lots of pivotal moments. And I remember early in my career, and not specifically in marketing or music, there were a few moments in both industry that as a woman of color, as an immigrant, that I felt unjust in a room of a white dominant room of people, leaders or coworkers. And there were those moments that just made me so, so mad, which I was able to channel those energies and pivot into my passion now is I am helping several communities which are diversity and inclusion and equity focused communities to help support and uplift people of color, because I know I'm not the only one who felt that way and who have experienced that. And the only way we can accomplish and to help to reduce this kind of situation keep occurring is we have to build a community to uplift each other. And in the meantime, to also help educate some of these people outside of the community or allies, that how can they help support us, or how can they switch their mindset? It's because some of them are not intentionally to be aggressive, and some of there were some people who are just not good people, but most of them are not intentional to be rude. But I think it's also important to continuously help educating them and help them to understand the struggles we have and how can they be best supporters and allies.
1000%. And I think as immigrants, we definitely sense this immediately when we come in. So to not only recognize it, but to also kind of give back and to educate constantly is so important, especially when you start having your own voice, you can make bigger impacts. And like I said, your journey is sounding so relatable to immigrants. I mean, as someone who I also moved here, I moved back when I was 18. So it is very similar. And that immediately made me, like, this question came up to my head as to what were some more challenges that you faced when you came here? I know one of the things that I always heard was, oh my God, are you from India? Because you speak so well in English. That's one thing that I heard. And I was like, what do you mean? So I want to know, like, what are some challenges that you faced when you kind of moved here?
So many challenges. I mean, for me, language was number one, because in China, English was not the official language. Okay. And so language was obviously number one. First biggest challenge I need to overcome when I first moved here in college. And then number two is obviously culture. I did not understand anything about American culture, the Western culture. Didn't understand the difference of ketchup and tomato sauce. And there's so many things I just do not understand how things work here. So that took me time and lots of observation, lots of failures, and lots of failures to really understand how the system works in this country and in this part of the world. And yeah, I would say language, culture, these are two biggest challenges. And number three is obviously I moved here by myself. My parents are not here with me. When you are here by yourself, such young age, it's so difficult. So difficult. You try to make a print to the world, but lots of people are like, who the hell are you? We don't know you. And why should we help you? You're just a random girl in China, right? These are some of the major challenges.
I'm sure your parents are super proud of you now. You've navigated this whole space by yourself. Are they still back in China?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you often go? Do you visit more?
Yeah, I try to. I mean, COVID definitely had slowed down my visit, the frequency of the visit, but I hope to pick it up soon.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. I'm glad. Now that you have kind of grown, like we're talking about it, and you're judging, you are with awards, what is your message? What messages do you strive to convey to the next generation of marketers and musicians?
I love this question because one of my priorities is to help mentoring and fostering the next generation of leader. And that's going to be my number one priority in the next few years or the rest of my life. And starting from last year, I have been a frequent speaker in a lot of universities and a lot of conferences. And the message I keep saying and delivering to lots of the younger students are, regardless what industry you are in, is like everyone has so much potential, really. Like, I think everyone was born with unique gift, but a lot of the people just don't realize it. It takes a lot of work and time to explore your gift, your potential, I have to admit, but the reward is so amazing. It will change your life. Don't ever let your mind to limit your dream and potentials. And don't let anyone to limit you or stop you from pursuing what matters to you. Because along the way, there are going to be people telling you that you can't do this, you can't do that. But the fact is, only you know what you are capable of.
So true. With my other guests, we often talk about, you know, cutting out the noise and surrounding yourself with your cheerleaders. You've said really interesting things that are hitting home for me as well. Talking about a board of advisors for your personal brand, I don't think we ever think of it like that. We always think of a strategic way of going about things only if it is, if you're in corporate America, RFP, or if you are building your business from scratch, but never do you take yourself as a project. And to surround yourself with the right mentors and the right cheerleaders is so important. And Jenny, you are truly one of those people that I feel like so many people would love to get mentored by you. So I'm only excited for this journey, and I'm excited for the messages that you give out to these young students, because we need leaders like you. We need leaders who recognize this and who tap into other individuals' potentials. It's just so important. So thank you for doing that.
Really appreciate you saying that.
Talking about messages to the younger students, in the industry and whatnot, what's next for you? What do you see yourself do?
Number one, I want to prioritizing well-being. I think that's very important for everyone, not just myself. Number two is continuing champion arts, music, women, and the diverse communities. And number three is, which I mentioned earlier, mentoring and coaching the next generations.
Yeah. So exciting. And if you could go back in time, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I would say first thing is, everything is going to be okay. I had so much anxiety Oh my God. Which is inevitable because I moved here again. I moved here when I was so young by myself, didn't know anyone, didn't speak the language, didn't understand the culture. There were so many nights I just couldn't sleep thinking about what am I going to do? I didn't know what's going to happen, if it's ever going to work out, if life is ever going to turn my way, but just want to keep reminding you that everything is going to be okay, whatever challenge or problems you are facing, everything is going to be okay. Everything has a solution. And number two is trust your gut. That's also something I've learned along the way through through the hard way. There are incidents that I did not trust my gut, whether it's people or projects I first encountered. My gut was telling me that didn't feel right, but I did not trust my gut. And eventually it fell apart. And that was just the lesson I continuously learning, that if your instinct is telling you something doesn't feel right, don't do it.
Yeah, it's a I told you so moment after many those are great pieces of advice, and it's also so positive. I know when people are in hard situations to hear that, this too shall pass, it's often hard because only they are kind of experiencing the emotion. But I think we have so many examples around us where you do end up finding the light at the end of the tunnel. And I think another thing that I'd love to stress on is sometimes we do plan out our lives and we want certain things to go certain ways, but sometimes there's just a better opportunity or a better something waiting for us at the end of the tunnel, and we just don't know about it. So just having that sort of patience, that grit, and again, like you said, trusting your gut, you do end up finding that, and then you realize. And then you're thankful that, you're glad this happened because you would have never ever found that other opportunity. I like to think of it as the butterfly effect. If this never went wrong, this wouldn't have happened, or if this happened.
Absolutely.
That's
I
such a
couldn't
beautiful
agree
journey.
more.
Yeah,
I
it's
couldn't
well.
agree more because, like, how can you plan life?
Yeah.
Like, you just can't. Like, none of this, whatever is taken place in my life, was planned. I never knew I would first become a pianist, and then never knew I would go into marketing. It just kind of happened. I just embracing life.
That's beautiful. I love that. I'm not gonna say anything beyond embracing life. That's so well said. One question that I do ask all my guests is, what are the three ingredients that fill your cup of success?
Dream big, work hard, and play smart.
I love that. That was incredible. Well, thank you so much. This has been such a wonderful conversation. I definitely was taking notes. I feel like I take notes in all of my episodes because I'm learning so much. You definitely brought in a very new perspective about personal branding and about pivoting in careers, and talking about transferable skills. So thank you so much for being so honest. I'm so excited for what's next for you. This ladder is so exciting to watch. So just all the very best. I am rooting for you and I can't wait to learn more from you. So thank you so much.
Thank you again for having me.
See you, Jenny.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit the follow button on all your favorite streaming platforms. Go follow us on social media at Chai with Champs and share with your friends and family. We'll be back every other Monday at 6 p.m. CT.